The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 19th of December, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Today we're talking what's in the news, open line. There's lots to talk about. I want to remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. To win the prize, there are two pieces of correct information are needed. The government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. To play the game, you call the show, you let the producer know you want to play the game, he's going to transfer you to me, and then you go back to the producer, you give him the information, including your name, the school you attend, and the grade you're in, and the answers to the question. There are four districts: New Providence, Grand Bahama, San Salvador, and the rest of the Family Islands. Four winners will be chosen. There are cash prizes, gifts, and surprises from local and international vendors. The petition is being organized by Dennis Bethel. They call him Uncle Dennis. Uncle Dennis, that's what I call him. It's a great opportunity for young people to explore the archives, to explore history, to explore record keeping. And we say thank you to Mr. Bethel for organizing the competition. On the Clock is also running a t-shirt and magazine recycling drive. We want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to those who have donated, given magazines and t-shirts already. If you're doing a little Christmas cleaning and you have a bunch of t-shirts or old magazines you don't know what to do with, we can find a great home for them. Now the National Junkanoo Committee announces Bahamas Junkanoo Festival. Now I think I've seen two names for the event: Bahamas Junkanoo Festival and Bahamas Christmas Festival. But day one was yesterday, December 18th. They had, I think, an ecumenical service to open. They have multiple rush outs through the day at the East Bay Street site. Now, I don't exactly know where the East Bay Street site is. Was I in town yesterday? I think I avoided town as much as possible, but I'm not quite sure where the East Bay Street site is. Today, December 19th, Friday, is day two. There'll be rush outs. I'm not quite sure. I seen 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., and I see 12 noon and 4 p.m. There may be two sets of events taking place with 11 and 3 p.m. rush outs, and then noon and 4 p.m. rush outs. Saturday, December 20th is day three. You have the Junkanoo Rush at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the East Bay Street site. Day 21. Day four is the closed event for the ecumenical service, East Bay Street site, 3 p.m. That's Sunday, December 21st. As the festival unfolds for vendors and stakeholders who are not very close to the organizing, This is a great, I hope that they continue the calendar of events so that tour guides and, what do you call them, promoter experience, cultural experience promoters can add this to their list of activities for their potential guests. But I know this is just the beginning. It's just 4 days. I haven't seen the full calendar yet. But I get the impression, just from the outset, that the expansion, well, we know that the expansion of the model is due to the new status of Junkanoo being recognized as a cultural heritage product. But the organizing of the festival appears to be tourist-focused. And I'm not sure that's the best, necessarily the best start. Mind you, it's only the first 4 days. There may be activities that aim to entrench Junkanoo culture deeper into our communities, our schools, and our kids, but surely the expansion of the experience of Junkanoo is not just to satisfy tourism. It has to be more than that. It has to be a desire from Bahamians to have more Junkanoo, right? And not a desire of tourism operators to have more product to offer tourists. Junkanoo is culture first and primarily, and it has to be driven by cultural needs. That's my position on it. So to the headlines, oh, the numbers to call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. And 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. Text line is always powered by BTC. 422-GR96. That's 422-GR96. 422-4796. There was a traffic fatality in Long Island, I think yesterday. A vehicle and a motorcycle collided. The juvenile, see in the law, juvenile is another word for child. The juvenile, because anybody under the age of 18 is a child, right? The juvenile was operating a motorcycle. It is a tragic, another tragic and needless death on the roads of the Bahamas. Things are just out of control, man. I didn't realize that we all, was there a meeting? Was there a collective meeting, a collective decision that we don't have to adhere to stop signs anymore? I just check in. Because nobody is doing it. The people stop, like if there's another vehicle coming and they cannot avoid an accident, if they run out, they stop. Sometimes they don't, they just go. They're not worried about it. But something is terribly wrong. Yesterday, I spent far more time on the road than I want to. 2 hours in total just driving. 2 hours in total just driving. And because I had to make the port, I had to get something important. On the boat, the last boat, for before Christmas, before New Year's, I think. And as I was making my way back from the port, and it was Marcus Garvey Way, that's when you come from Bay Street over the fort, and then you go to the road where the Veterans Cemetery is, and then you go back out to Meeting Street, right, or you go into Chippenham. And as I was coming over the hill, there was a vehicle in front of me, a truck. I'm not going to call the company's name, it's on the truck. But I realized the truck just rolled into the grass on the left-hand side by the stop sign. Like the truck just rolled into the grass. We'd be driving on the road and then all of a sudden, the truck is rolling into the grass and a right-hand door just opens up. But it just opened up. The car rolled into the grass, comes to a stop. And I just watching it like, is the person in the vehicle in front of me having a medical incident? Like, did they have a stroke? Are they having a heart attack? Are they choking? And all they could do is let the vehicle roll? Well, to my surprise, a man came tumbling out of the vehicle into the road in front of me. Right? And when I realized he gained his composure, he didn't fall, right? He had momentum, but he didn't fall. And once he was safely across the road, I turned to him and I said, hey, the truck door is still open and, you know, partially in the road. And the boy said to me, oh, somebody coming out now. I thought the person in front of me was having a stroke. It turns out, no. It's a company vehicle. That's a big company. I just wonder, we all just do anything, hey? So that happened yesterday. After witnessing that, I was in hyper alert mode. So then I got cussed by my neighbor because I was telling my neighbor, using a hand signal, just a car in the neighborhood. I didn't even know it was my neighbor, to slow down. Why? They were about to run the stop sign, right? And as I was turning, there was a vehicle, a large tow truck coming behind me, speeding, flying. I don't know why. I figured they come to tow somebody's car. So I'm telling the person who's going to run the stop sign blind to just slow down. I get cussed by my neighbor. They didn't use cuss words, but I get cussed by my neighbor who told me I know how to stop. And all I wanted to say to them was, wow, you couldn't tell by the way you were refusing to stop, even though you were going to risk injuring people you could see on the road, and you were going to risk injury from a vehicle you couldn't see. But they could stop. They just choose not to. These are needless and unnecessary deaths that are happening on the road. Here's a text. Aaron, can you confirm if an autonomous magistrate vehicle hit the juvenile, please? And did they claim the motorcyclist was drunk? That's a text. I got another text here. Why is the registrar's office insisting that my shoulders are covered to enter and receive service? Because we live on a plantation. Because we live on a plantation. That's why. We have these archaic rules. For what purpose? To order people? It's to order people. The rules are to order us to make. But the rules, the clothing rules that you insist on for a tropical climate just don't make any sense. Why are citizens being barred access to state services because they have on a sleeveless shirt? It's not making any sense. Okay. We are going to move to another story. The biggest story of the day, man dies during struggle with police, is the Guardian headline. Prisoner dies in police custody is the Tribune headline. Man dies during struggle with police. A 35-year-old man died after he got into a struggle with four police officers at the Fox Hill Police Station yesterday morning, police said. Assistant Commissioner of Police Anton Ramming said the incident unfolded at around 10 a.m. Quote, sometime this morning, officers here at the Fox Hill Police Station went to the cell block to retrieve a male suspect who was being housed here at the station. Close quotes, Ramming said. Quote, upon doing so, the officers, with the intent to take him to court, took him from the cell. And as they did so, this individual began to resist the officers, stating he wished not to go to court. Quote, the officers attempted to handcuff him. And at this time, we're going to turn to page 6. At this time, he held onto one of the officers, close quotes. Ramming said officers who were also present at the station came in to assist the transporting officers and defuse the situation. Quote, eventually, as they subdued him, they realized that he became unresponsive, close quotes, Ramming said. Quote, at this point, the officers contacted the EMS personnel who came to this location. Quote, they examined the individual and determined that he had succumbed at the station here, close quotes. Ramming said the man was being held for burglary and he had been at the station for 2 days. He added that the man showed signs of aggression earlier in the morning. No officers were hurt during the altercation, and Ramming said that the officers involved used a, quote, necessary, close quotes, level of force to subdue the deceased. The man had no illnesses or health issues on file by the police, and there were no visible injuries to his body before he became unresponsive. An autopsy will be carried out to determine his cause of death, Ramming said. Quote, Madam Coroner, she has been informed and she will be conducting a further investigation, and certainly an autopsy will be done to help us determine what was the cause of death. Close quotes, ACP, Assistant Commissioner of Police, said. This is indeed a tragic story. I want to read from the Tribune as well. Prisoner dies in police custody. An investigation has been launched after a 35-year-old prisoner died during an altercation with four police officers inside the Fox Hill Police Station. Police said the man, quote, became unresponsive, close quotes, as two officers initially tried to restrain and subdue him while attempting to escort him from his cell to court. The man had been in custody for 2 days on burglary charges and was scheduled to appear before a magistrate when the incident unfolded shortly after 10 a.m. yesterday. Assistant Commissioner of Police Anton Ramming, speaking to reporters outside the station, said officers were forced to intervene after the detainee resisted efforts to remove him from his cell, repeatedly refusing to go to court. ACP Ramming said two officers initially attempted to escort the man, but additional help was called when he resisted and became aggressive. Quote, the officers attempted to handcuff him, close quote, said ACP Ramming. Quote, and we go into page 5, at this time, he held on to one of the officers. Other officers who were present tried to assist with removing him from that officer. Eventually, as they subdued him, they realized he became unresponsive, close quotes. He said emergency medical services were immediately contacted. Quote, at that point, officers contacted EMS personnel who came to the location, examined the individual, and determined that he had succumbed at the station, close quotes, he added. ACP Ramming said the force used was what officers believed was required to secure the detainee, noting that the man had shown signs of aggression earlier that same morning. He said there were no visible injuries and no signs of vomiting observed before the man became unresponsive. Police also had no record of any medical conditions or health concerns for the detainee, though that information will now form part of the investigation. The coroner has been notified, and an investigation, including a postmortem examination, is expected to determine the cause of death. Officers are also attempting to contact the man's relatives. ACP Ramming said police could not yet provide an exact timeline beyond confirming that officers were alerted shortly after 10 a.m. He also confirmed that there are no medical personnel stationed at the Fox Hill Police Station. Okay, so there's no medical personnel at the station, but officers aren't trained to perform CPR? Do you guys have the first aid kit with the mouthpiece for CPR so that the person administering the CPR doesn't actually have to make contact with the skin of the person who is receiving the CPR? That's... There's no mention anywhere that officers attempted to administer CPR? I think it goes back to training. I'm not going to put any blame on individual officers at the moment. I wouldn't have enough information, but I think from reading both articles, there's a clear indication that there is training that's lacking in this space. In particular, physical training for officers to subdue or detain, right? Subdue suspects, people in their detention with minimal force. Because surely death is not a reasonable result of not wanting to go to court. The expectation that prisoners will just be people who are being detained, imprisoned, whether temporary or not, are all going to have sunshiny attitudes is unreasonable. Prisoners are going to have an aggressive tone or an aggressive attitude. But are officers trained and prepared to subdue those in their detention with minimal force? In the Tribune article, there's an additional excerpt underneath we're going to read from. Deaths in police custody have sparked public controversy in the Bahamas before, with several cases in the early 2010s prompting protests, inquests, and long-running questions about accountability and oversight. Two of the most prominent involved young men who died while being held at the Central Detective Unit in Nassau. Jamie Jamico Smith, 2013. Jamie Jamico Smith died in February 2013 after being taken into police custody and held at the Central Detective Unit. His death followed an altercation with officers, and questions were raised almost immediately about the level of force used while he was restrained. Smith's family and human rights advocates argued that he was already under police control when he became unresponsive, fueling calls for accountability and reform. The case became one of the most high-profile in-custody deaths of the decade, keeping sustained attention on police restraint practices. A coroner's inquest later concluded that Smith died from positional asphyxia during the struggle. While the finding acknowledged the role of restraint, no criminal convictions followed, an outcome that continued to draw criticism from those who believed the case exposed gaps in accountability. I hear you, Texter. Essentially, the text is saying from everything that they've heard and that they've read, it appears as if strangulation may be the cause of death. There's no mention of use of weapons like a billy. I don't know. We continue with an excerpt about another death in police custody, Tyrone Saunders Jr., 2012. Tyrone Saunders Jr. died in June 2012 while in police custody at the Central Detective Unit, where he had been taken in for questioning and later found unresponsive in his cell. His death triggered public protests and repeated appeals from his family for transparency, with unresolved questions about how he was monitored and whether earlier intervention could have prevented his death. The case became a flashpoint for broader concern over delays in inquests and the handling of deaths in custody. Years on, Saunders's case remained part of a wider public unease about whether such deaths were being investigated with sufficient urgency and independence. Well, I think the first question to ask is, Are there not cameras in the police stations? Are there not cameras in the police station? Why are there not cameras? Is it that there are just not cameras in every police station? Does CDU have cameras? Does Central have cameras? Does headquarters have cameras? And what about the body cam? See, because your officers indicate that the detainee already presented with aggression earlier in the morning. Why weren't the officers assigned to transport this individual to court assigned body cameras for this process? And who shall speak on behalf of the deceased? It requires the utmost urgency because death is not a natural or reasonable penalty for burglary. It just isn't. And it's not to say that these officers executed this man. That's not what we're saying. But nobody should expect to be detained for burglary and not walk out of a police station. The officers don't have less lethal tools available to them yet. They don't have tasers. Y'all don't have foot shackles. Y'all have spit guards. These are all the fancy things I see in American television. Oh boy. It's just a sad situation. Let's go to, let's see, it is 10:36. Producer, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to get into some more headlines. Parliamentary Registration Department hopes to issue biometric cards by February. Parliamentary Registration Department is also working to clean register, Thompson says. We can get into those stories after the break. You guys stay tuned. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green.
She was lost in so many different ways, out in the darkness with no guide. I know the cost of a losing hand there, but for the grace of God, oh, I found heaven.
Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Mm. Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Somebody clap your hands. Yes. Well, it's time to bring some joy, y'all. EWF, come on. Yes. Choir, say.
Joy to the world.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Don't stop clapping now.
Joy to the world.
Mm. Yes.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Hey, producer, you ain't play no junk in the music this morning. You in that cold, crispy Christmas kind of mood, eh? I feel you. Here's the text. Good morning, Aaron. You took the words out of my mouth. There is a training gap that needs to be filled, even if one of the officers intended to harm the deceased. Good luck in proving it. We need to use technology to protect detainees and the police officer. You mentioned cameras and body cams. That's a great start. See, that's it right there. It's not just about the detainee, right? Like, if we need persuasion, if we need to persuade the powers that be to do something they know they ought to do already, it's not just about protecting the detainee. It's about protecting the officers and protecting the integrity of the system. Right? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Why is the technology not available? Here's another text. How can the right amount of force equal to death? Question mark. I am trying to figure out how is that determination made at that point? How was that determination made at that point? Here's another text. Here are a few more. Bradley Taylor, 15-year-old in the Grove. The Key Boy, Chris Culmer, Aaron Roll in the Wolf Road Station. Thank you. I thought it was Aaron Roll, but I wasn't certain, so I didn't call the name. Most recently, Hartman Dawkins, who died under very dubious circumstances in the cell at Central Police Station. Obscurity. What's the status on this, or was there even a coroner's inquest or call for one? Now, we know it took a while for them to re-operationalize the coroner's court. But now that it's back, it's in full swing. I mean, they are moving through cases, right? And so we know there must have been a backlog. The public awaits. We await notice. Like, there should be the dissemination and the publication of certain information. Good morning, Lady Green. I'm going to read it just as it is. The incel of persons in police holdings are always suspicious when the person held died. All right, so it's always suspicious when a person dies in police custody and is unresponsive. What an injustice against male in police care. It is sad that there are no new measures to protect individuals in the Bahamas. There are too many lawbreakers in the Bahamas. We need immediate change today. Sela from Grand Bahama, we are listening today. It is an injustice. No matter what the circumstances, we understand people who are detained are going to be aggressive. Nobody want to get locked up. I mean, there's some people who behave that way, but that's psychosis. Nobody wants to get locked up. A texter says, remember Marvin Pratt, who several people claim they saw taken into police custody 5 years ago and never seen again. Yes, Marvin Pratt, thank you for reminding us, for remembering us. Thank you very much. Again, the text says, remember Marvin Pratt, who several people claimed they saw taken into police custody 5 years ago and never seen again. See, let me tell you what privilege is. Privilege is not hearing about the Adelaide bus until I was a big, big grown woman. That's privilege. Right? Here's a text. Aaron, you are totally siding with the so-called victim. In the article, it said that he was told that he has to go to court. Why didn't he just comply? Going to court is not going to kill you. Resisting going to court should not kill you either, texter. That's the point that I'm making. Resisting going to court is not supposed to kill you. Resisting police when you are already in the police custody just to go to court does not make sense. Who knows, the judge might have favored for him and ordered his release. Let's be sensible when we are in police custody. Okay, two things. Are the people who are in police custody operating with sense generally? That's the first question. If they were sensible people, they would not be breaking the law, right? That's the first presumption. So using your own words, resisting police when you are already in police custody just to go to court does not make sense. Bang. So we've assumed that. We accept that. So now that you have determined that the individual doesn't have sense, are you now going to treat him like a person that is having a mental lapse? Right? Because if the person is acting or behaving or you think they don't have sense, then you are now required to treat them like they're having a mental breakdown. Let's be sensible here. Here's another text. Miss Green, you move to the head of the class, okay? Even wild animals don't want to be in a cage. That is why they're tranquilized. There's an expectation that you are going to experience resistance from people in detention. That's not a justification for force. You respond with appropriate measures that have been standardized, right? That have been standardized across developed countries. Here's another text. Hi, Aaron. Trump just relaxed the marijuana laws, so the local committee on marijuana in the Bahamas have no excuse to keep delaying the decriminalization of marijuana. Oh boy, I wish I had another break so I could pull up an article that I just touched last night, although I don't have a date on it, with Brave Davis pointing out, let's see, we're going to read from this. I have the headline. Come on now, Google, help me out. Help me out, Google. We're going to it right now. Almost there. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Here we go. It is Prime Minister Davis speaking to the question of decriminalization of cannabis. I am so sorry I can't find it right now in this moment. Here we go. PM indicates no final decision on recreational marijuana use. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, so we know it is circa 2021, and forward. PM Davis said that the government is considering whether to go as far as legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. The Davis administration has committed to advancing a cannabis bill to, quote, develop a comprehensive regulatory framework for growing, harvesting, and exporting cannabis, close quotes, within the first 6 months of the new fiscal year. In It's Our Blueprint for Change, the PLP committed to developing a cannabis industry and, quote, encouraging joint ventures in the medical cannabis industry, close quotes. The party also committed to ensuring that all Bahamians are given, quote, full access to development and have a fair opportunity to become owners in this new industry, close quotes. The government has engaged Canadian corporate law firm Castles to assist with the development of a regulatory framework for cannabis industry. Okay, I read that and I wanted to tell you, Texter, from the first sentence where it says the government is considering whether to go as far as legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. And then the second sentence, it says Davis administration is committed to advancing a cannabis bill. From I read that, when I read it the first time, I say, yeah, no. It's recreational marijuana, but it's medical cannabis. No, they're not prepared to liberalize, to legalize, to decriminalize for recreational use. You could tell by the language that they use. But for the cannabis advocates out there, this is a great time. It's a great time to reignite your lobby. Here's a text. Aaron, does the coroner's court tell the public the cause of death or the police? If the police... Okay. Question, is it the coroner's court or is it the public that's responsible for is determining that they don't necessarily determine, no, the coroner's does that, but for publishing the information. All right. I heard you mention something about biosafety equipment as it relates to CPR. You know they don't want us to live, man. They have such equipment or the thought thereof speaks volumes. That's like a basic part of a CPR. I mean, a first aid. And then y'all have first aid kits? See, these critiques are not about diminishing, degrading. It's not derogative about individual officers. It's about the force, the integrity of the force and its infrastructure. These deficiencies affect the detained, the suspects, the supposed criminals, as much as it affects the officers who are required to enforce the law. Same thing in the prison system. The degradation of the prison system, the inhumane environment, the substandard conditions affect both the prisoners and the overseers. And the text says, the lack of such equipment speaks volumes if they don't have it. Imagine if they have it and they still are not confident in their training of how to use it. Good morning, Aaron. Not enough info known. Hence, it's premature. The conversation is premature. An individual can die from pure fright. I don't know if the conversation is premature. I can appreciate that there's is obviously an absence of information in the public domain. That's not our responsibility. It's the responsibility of the police. Right? To share the information. Now, when I say that, here's what I mean. Any information that can be shared should be shared. Otherwise, we ask, what's the purpose of not sharing it? That's why sometimes silences, omissions, and absences are equally important to analyze. It's not just what's said, but it's what's not said when there's an expectation that things should be said, right? So I don't know if the conversation is premature, but I do know that there's not enough information in the public domain. And there should be, like reading from the media statements yesterday, emerging in the public domain immediately after the event, right? All right, I have a text here. There are cameras in police stations and in Fox Hill Police Station in particular. That is from a representative of the ministry. So there are cameras in police stations. So we await the investigation. There are cameras. We know that more information will be forthcoming at the appropriate time. Thank you, sir, for sharing that information. There are cameras in police stations, and there are cameras in the Fox Hill Police Station. So it makes me think, when we see these instances of police officers recording from personal devices in police stations, why are they using personal devices if cameras are available? If they feel that something untoward is happening or something needs to be documented, right? Why are they not relying on the institutional footage and going through the process of requesting access to the footage or drawing said footage to the attention of, right? But the phone thing is far broader than the police force. We have a cultural thing happening where we just can't let the phone go. We can't seem to let the phone go. We can't seem to put it down. This is so problematic. The cell phone is not an extension of your body. I mean, I've seen people try to propose, like they're trying to get the ring out their pocket and out the box, but they didn't think it would be easier if they put the phone in their pocket. I saw a woman crash because she couldn't figure out which hand she was going to turn a wheel with because her cell phone was in one hand. I don't know what the other hand was doing, but it was obvious on her face. She couldn't figure out what to do. Simply dropping the cell phone would have been the answer. Here's a text. Hey, Aaron, you saw how they caught that Bahamian fugitive in Florida the other day? Not a single shot was fired. They used high-tech technology to catch him deep into the night, and everything was recorded from the body cam, dash cam, drone cam, and helicopter cam from the air, drone and helicopter footage in the air. Yeah, I saw that, eh? But yeah, I saw it. Let me tell you what I noticed. As soon as I saw the little clip online. For the first 3 seconds of the video, I could tell that the end of it, this is even before I knew it was a Bahamian, anything, that the individual in the vehicle was about to flee. The first 3 seconds of watching the video, I had already made a determination that this is the point in time where this boy is about to flee. Where whatever this chase is, they say, this is when it's about to happen. But yep, they had body cameras. They had the overhead helicopter or drone cameras. They had a dog. Right? They had a dog. They had a canine. Like you said, I'm not sure at what point the weapons were drawn. But, yeah. Any officers instructed to carry out search warrants on high-profile individuals should be wearing body cameras. Why not? Why wouldn't they? In fact, if I were an officer, you send me on any high profile anything, I'm going to ask you, could I buy my own body camera? And y'all just hook it up to your system or something? All right, we are almost out of time. I wanted to, and let me reiterate again, on word of a senior official in the Ministry of National Security, there are cameras in police stations and in Fox Hill Police Station in particular. All right, I said we were going to touch on this Parliamentary Registration Department headline. There are some more interesting headlines in today's paper. Health funding's unsustainable gap with $24 million funding deficit. I see there's a picture of Dr. Duane Sands attached to the report. It'll be an interesting read. Fishing lodges warning on exclusionary. Fishing lodges warning on exclusionary agenda. Lodge owners and operators are challenging assertions by Prescott Smith, the Bahamas Fly Fishing Industry Association's president, that their segment of the industry should be reserved exclusively for Bahamians only. Whoa, those spoken to by Tribune Business, while agreeing that fly fishing guides must be 100% Bahamian, gave a cooler response to Mr. Smith's suggestion that the same apply to lodge ownership and operations, to lodge ownership and operations. Cheryl Bastian, proprietor of Swain's Key Lodge in Andrus, said the Bahamas should welcome legitimate foreign investors, particularly those who will employ Bahamians and help build communities. There we go. We got 45 seconds left. Pick up today's Guardian. Commissioner hopes to issue biometric cards by February. Parliamentary Registration Department working to clean register. Thompson says appeal court overturns bail decision for convicts. Great articles. Rick, do you all see Rick Fox launch? He launched something this week. It's not a political party. It looked like a social advocacy community group. I'm going to see if I can get Mr. Rick Fox in studio to talk about it. You guys, hopefully it's going to be a nice chilly weekend. Not too wet, not too hot. You have a great day and stay tuned for Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Have a great weekend.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.